Well, hey, John.
Hey, Laurel.
What's up? Are you ready to podcast?
Sorry. I've just been thinking a lot about, time. And I've actually been watching some videos online from this temporal philosopher.
Okay.
So like listen to this one.
Why should I live in history, huh? I don't want to know anything anymore. This is a world where nothing is solved. Well, someone once told me time is a flat circle. Everything we've ever done or will do, we're gonna do over and over and over again. And again. And again. Forever.
I'm sorry, John, is that Matthew McConaughey?
From season one of HBO's True Detective. But so there's that, but then listen to what he says here.
No, man, I tell you, that's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
Yes, they do.
I mean, do you see? 1993, Dazed and Confused. It's right there.
John, I'm sorry, but what are you talking about?
All right, let me just ask you something. What is today's date?
It's October 8th, 2021.
Yeah. And what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, we're going to talk about November 2020.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. News is a flat circle. Every election story we've ever reported, we're going to report over and over and over again and again and again forever.
You know, I see your point. You might be right, but still got to do an episode. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm Laurel White.
And I'm John K. Wilson. That's what I love about these election news stories, man. I get older, they stay front page. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Okay, well, first things first, my deepest, sincerest apologies to Sean Johnson for using the Matthew McConaughey True Detective Time as a Flat Circle clip here when he's not recording with us, but it's his loss, man. He's working on another fancy podcast about redistricting, which you should listen to. Mapped Out. WPR reports Mapped Out. Got a WPR.org/mappedout to subscribe. He'll be back soon enough. And he wasn't here for that awesome clip.
Yeah, you can't have your cake and eat it too, and something about Matthew McConaughey. I don't know.
Yeah, good
poor,
one.
Poor Sean. I don't know. He does love that clip, though. He named like the fantasy football league after. I probably shouldn't say the name of Sean's fantasy football league, but.
Yeah, I don't know. Some level of privacy. Anyway, so we hinted in the intro. We're talking about the November 2020 election, which keeps coming up over and over and over again. Specifically this week, we're talking about the news surrounding Wisconsin Republicans' investigation into the results of that election and how it was carried out. And there's a bunch of news developments this week about the investigation from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, led by conservative former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman. But before we get into some of the specific play-by-play elements of all the stuff that happened this week, do you want to just give an overview of this investigation so far?
Yes, and I promise I won't go on and on forever. I promise. You can just like fade me out. So this investigation, spearheaded by the Assembly Speaker, was first announced at the state Republican convention this summer, late June. Speaker Voss said that Justice Gableman would be leading it. you know, fast forward a little bit, the legislative committee officially that oversees this stuff officially approves Gableman as the head of the investigation in late August. And that's really when everything from August 30th on has gotten a lot more interesting. And there's been more action, I guess. That's when the action started, was late August. So Gableman has issued a variety of kind of requests to state and local officials about preserving data. He's released some videos talking about, well, one video talking about, you know, maybe needing to issue subpoenas to get the information that he wants from elected officials and from election officials across Wisconsin. And then starting on October 1st, so that seems like ages ago, but really it was just a week ago. Time is a flat circle.
So I've heard.
Right. The subpoenas started going out. So he's issued them to clerks across the state. And then the big stuff this week was he issued some more subpoenas to mayors. And there's been a lot of back and forth about the latest set of subpoenas and kind of backtracking on what he's asking for, essentially.
Maybe taking one step back even further, what have we heard from Robin Voss, from Gableman, from folks who were involved in this in terms of what they're actually looking for in this investigation?
Well, basically, when Voss announced that Gableman was going to head the investigation in June at the state Republican convention, like I mentioned, he said that the investigation was intended to look into, I think shenanigans was the word that he used, things that may have gone on in the administration of the 2020 election that were somehow untoward or inappropriate. That was kind of the implication from Voss, is that we're going to look into the things that may have happened that weren't good. Now, it's really important to note that, you know, at the time that Voss said that in late June, there had already obviously been a number of state audits that are written into state law that are required. We'd already had the presidential recounts in Dane and Milwaukee County. We'd already had several Republican-backed lawsuits, all challenging things that had to do with the election, none of which found widespread problems or fraud or shenanigans of any variety. So, you know, the framing by the speaker and Gableman is that they think despite all of those previous actions, there may still be things to find, and that this is an effort to find them if they exist, and to kind of lay out, in Gableman's words, this is how he's kind of described it, what should have happened in the administration of the election, what did happen, and what changes need to be made going forward to ensure that the public has trust in elections in Wisconsin.
And speaking of Gableman's words specifically, one thing I think it's important to point out is that in the past, he specifically has said, without evidence, he thought that the presidential election was stolen.
Yes, he has. He has absolutely said that. And he, you know, of note, went to Arizona this past summer to visit that very controversial election inquiry that went on there. He went to a conference put on by Mike Lindell, the MyPillow CEO, who has also advanced a number of unsubstantiated claims about election administration across the country. So, former Justice...
I like that you use his full title there, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow CEO, yeah, as opposed to just the, you know, the MyPillow guy.
The MyPillow guy.
I think which it's... is how he's known in internet vernacular.
I think it's just I've mentioned him in so many stories now that my brain just sort of robotically spits it out. But so he has... Gableman has these associations, right? I mean, he, like you said, he has said things that indicate he thought the election was stolen. But he's also visited and been a part of things that have advanced misinformation and disinformation about election administration.
And then one other thing I think is important just as a scene setter here, where is the money coming from for this investigation to pay Gableman and the work that he's doing, and how much?
So it's taxpayer money. And as of right now, it's just shy of $700,000 approved kind of in the initial budget. And it could cost more than that. And I think that that's a really important thing to keep on our radar, because Gableman just said this week that he doesn't think the existing timeline for the investigation is realistic. He was supposed to have things wrapped up under his initial contract by the end of this month. And he said that that doesn't seem like it's going to be possible. So, you know, we don't have, I don't have insider information about, you know, if that initial budget ask was budgeting or the, you know, initial allocation, the initial budget was absolutely tied to things being done by the end of October. If it was, sounds like we're going to have to, you know, lawmakers are going to have to go back and revisit the amount of money that's going to be spent on this if it's going over time. So the cost is something that's definitely going to stay on our radar.
Which I think is a good segue into some of the specifics of the news this week, because if that news is any indication, there is a lot of stuff still to be done with this, yes, with this investigation. The scope is almost unimaginable in some respects.
It's huge. I mean, I think that's the, yeah. So, you know, I said that things really kicked into high gear. Things started happening in late August. And here we are in early October. And essentially what's happening now is Gableman has sort of narrowed down the funnel of, he asked state officials to preserve documents. State officials directed him to county officials. He submitted the subpoenas to the county officials, and then now he's gone to mayors and issued subpoenas. But the subpoenas that came this week were asking for all of the documentation related to the election that these mayor's offices have, which is just, you know, the Madison mayor, Satya Rhodes Conway, described this as just an unprecedented request in terms of the volume of documents. I mean, you think about all of the election related documents in a government office's possession. So it's just, it's massive. It's a massive request. And then he also wanted interviews with all of these mayors. And
I can't remember real quick. I can't remember if you said this. These are mayors of the five largest cities in Wisconsin, right?
I did not say that. Yeah. And that's true. It's the five largest cities. The reason that they are likely singled out, in addition to being the five largest, is that they received a multi-million dollar grant from the Center for Tech and Civic Life. All five cities split it. It was around $6 million split between the five of them. And this grant has been really controversial. Republicans have pushed back on it and said this group, which was founded by Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, allowed too much outside influence on election administration in these cities. And then it was inappropriate. And so Gableman has said that the grants are one of the things he wants to look into, that that's kind of part of the direction of the investigation, which is really broad, as we talked about. So the mayors from these five big cities have been asked to release all of this information. And
that being Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, Kenosha, and Racine.
Exactly. Exactly. So I talked today to the city attorney for Madison, and he said, you know, the place that we're at right now, which is, you know, he characterized it as we want to work with this, you know, we're going to be cooperative, but the scope of the request really is indicative of how huge this investigation is, that it doesn't have a very narrow focus, or even a few kind of narrow focuses, foci.
yeah, Latin.
Yeah. So, you know, you said we think about that with a timeline, right? And we think about that, you know, how could we be in a position, how could the investigation be in a position of wrapping this up in the next few weeks if they're just kind of beginning the process of getting this huge amount of, you know, data, document download, etc., from communities in the state. So it's it really seems from an outside perspective that it's kind of in the early stages, just based on that.
And not only that, but another item of news this week was what Gableman has said about his understanding of how elections are run. Mm-hmm. So not only early stages in terms of collecting all this stuff, but he basically said that he and his team are still learning about how elections are supposed to be conducted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said that this week, and that definitely got some headlines. And, you know, the conversation about him leading this investigation and his qualifications to do so as a former conservative state Supreme Court justice has been a part of the dialogue all along. You know, from the very beginning when he was tapped to lead this, Democrats said just the choice of Gableman showed kind of a partisan slant for the investigation, and they didn't think it was appropriate from the beginning. So he's not somebody coming in with expertise on this. That has been made clear at various points. You know, he's reached out to the state about, as I mentioned, data preservation. They weren't the ones that he should have reached out to about that. So there have been kind of fits and starts because of that lack of, you know, deep knowledge of election administration in the state, which he's acknowledged now. And one would think that that will continue to be, you know, a factor moving forward. Because let me tell you, election laws and administration are not super straightforward sometimes. There's a lot of detail there. There's a lot of complexity. Speaking from somebody who's read a lot of legal documents over the past 12 months about elections. It's an interesting dynamic.
So that's all of that. And then there's one more layer so far, as we're recording this, mm-hmm. of news that has broken with Gableman and his investigation. What is that?
So the backtracking on the subpoenas for these five big city mayors, the latest news is that investigators have contacted some, but not all, of the offices, as far as we know right now, saying we don't need all of the documentation that we initially asked for in the subpoena. Let's talk about limiting what we're going to get from you. In the case of Madison, they're just going to take documents that had already been released through public record requests. So any public record request that has been made between November 2020 and now related to the election will go to the investigation. And according to the city attorney's office, because those requests have come from a variety of people and organizations, they cover a really broad kind of swath of things. They do cover those grants from the Center for Tech and Civic Life, the Zuckerberg group. There were some requests about the Democracy in the Park events, which Republicans have also been critical of. Some requests for scans of ballot certificates, lists of who worked at polling places, lists of who worked at those Democracy in the Park events. So all of that stuff is going to go to the investigation from Madison versus everything related mm-hmm. to the election. So that's kind of limited.
And just all of that as opposed to everything.
Just everything. Yeah. So still definitely a substantial amount of information for these investigators to go through. And then in terms of like the other part of the subpoena, which was an in-person interview, that part for Madison has been postponed on the thought that, you know, we'll look at this information, the investigation will look at this information and then decide, you know, if they want to do an interview, what the interview would focus on, etc. We're getting different answers from the different communities about what this conversation has looked like. I got a confirmation. I had a conversation about a confirmation with Milwaukee, and they said that they are working out kind of limitations and changes. A representative from Kenosha that I've been in touch with said that they hadn't heard anything yet. At least this individual hadn't heard anything yet about modification. So it does seem like this is definitely a fluid situation in terms of moving forward with how these local officials are going to be interacting with the investigation, what they're going to be providing, you know, when they're going to be meeting in person, if they meet in person. Just another kind of, I think, underscoring of this is all really just getting figured out. Where it really does feel from kind of an outside perspective that we're at the beginning of this process.
But maybe we're also at the end and somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Because I've heard that time is a flat circle.
Yeah. Yeah.
If there's one takeaway here, it's that we could be speaking in October of 2022 about the 2020 November election.
Yeah, I think we probably will be. So really, what day is it, John, really?
I do not know.
It's all of them.
Every day I'm just hanging out in front of the bowling alley with my friends, acting cool.
So many mixed pop culture references.
God, Matthew McConaughey is just such a deep well to draw from.
He is.
It's great.
Yeah.
I feel like we should declare him another friend of the podcast.
I think we should.
Make that official right now.
I want to make like a How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days reference. Just like add some different energy into the McConaughey references, but I can't think of what that would be. So stay tuned. Maybe I'll be able to come up with something before the end of the pod.
All right. Well, speaking of, before we finish up, all that was about one specific investigation into the November 2020 election. But there is another investigation. What's the deal with that one?
Yes. So the other one I can summarize really quickly because we don't know a lot about it. We haven't heard a lot about it. It's one that's being conducted by the Legislative Audit Bureau, which is a nonpartisan entity in state government. The audit was called for and approved by the Republican-controlled state legislature, which has control over the Audit Bureau in terms of telling them what to do. That was approved in February. So just ages ago in terms of, you know, 2020 news, 2021 news about 2020.
I'm just proving
your point all over the place. Yeah, so this was in motion before the Gableman investigation in terms of approval and everything. The only information that I have been able to get about how this is moving forward is I did an interview in September with Milwaukee County Clerk George Christensen, and he said that some Audit Bureau staffers had been in his office in Milwaukee. About 8 people had been in his office for 3 days in early August. So we know that they're out there. We know that they're working on it. We know that the kind of proposed deadline is sometime this fall. So I would imagine, you know, based on that we'll be hearing something pretty soon. Something else that's notable about this one is that it is kind of the Republican-backed election investigations. It's the one that's most palatable to Democrats. They're not crazy about it, certainly. They don't really like the concept of investigating the 2020 election anymore, but they're most okay with this one.
Because it's by a nonpartisan agency, essentially, right?
Yeah, exactly. The Legislative Audit Bureau does investigations, audits into stuff all the time. They're well-respected in Wisconsin. They are solidly considered nonpartisan. So, you know, Democrats have said, we have faith in the product that the Audit Bureau is going to put out. And so we're comfortable with what their assessment would be.
All right. Well, that was a lot. I applaud your ability to condense it all into such a compact amount of time, or maybe it was a very large amount of time. I really have no idea anymore.
Who knows?
But we'll just have to wait and see how these investigations play out. And until then, I'm going to go to a kegger in the woods and hang out on a water tower.
And I'm going to buy a love fern. There's my How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days reference.
There you go. Well, Laurel White is WPR's Capitol reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
If you'd like to get new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast delivered to you over and over and over again, and again, and again, forever, well, all you have to do is subscribe to the show. It's available on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and many other podcast apps. While you're there, leave a rating or a review of the show to help other people find it. And all of our past episodes, well, they keep getting older, but they're still available at wpr.org/politicspodcast. Go, 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 go